everyone. My name is Ethan Uslan, and welcome to the Carolina Shout podcast, the show where I play old-timey piano and talk about it. That song I just played was Getting to Know You from The King and I by Rodgers and Hammerstein. I chose to play Getting to Know You because I have a special guest today, and over the past few days, we've been getting to know each other. His name is Jesse Eisenberg, and he's a brilliant actor and a playwright and an author and a humor essayist. And if you've been living in a cave the past 10 years with minimal exposure to popular culture, you still probably know him from his Academy Award-nominated portrayal of Mark Zuckerberg in the film The Social Network. Now, all this begs the question, what on earth is Jesse Eisenberg doing on the Carolina Shout podcast? Did I kidnap him, like in the movie 30 Minutes or Less? Or did I brainwash him, like in the movie American Ultra? No, Jesse is here simply because his wife and my wife have been close friends since high school. Our wives have been spending the last couple of days catching up on old times, while me and Jesse are just beginning to get to know each other. And I figure we could continue this journey live on the podcast. So welcome, Jesse. Thank you for being such a considerate and polite house guest. Although, can you take your shoes off? We just had the carpet cleaned.
Sure. And that was very funny. And if only there was a movie wherein the plot line was two men's wives are friends, and then one of them joins the other one on his podcast.
Yeah, well, too bad there's no film crew in here,
yes,
because this would be, I would ask you to send it to
a major Hollywood studio.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Didn't think of that.
I know. Well, hindsight.
Can we talk about music, your musical interest? I don't think, I've seen your interviews on Ellen and David Letterman and so on. They never ask you about your musical tastes. And I think that's something the world needs to know.
Yes, it's a shame. It's a shame. I mean, I grew up doing musical theater. That was my first love, I guess. And now it's my wife, you know. But I saw the show Titanic by Maury Yeston about, I don't know, 8 times. I saw The Civil War by Frank Wildhorn maybe like 7 times. The reason I saw these two musicals over and over again was because they allowed student tickets and I got to sit in the front row. So it was like $20 or something. So yeah. So, and also when I was younger, I acted in musical theater, starting from the age of like 7, doing like children's theater with my older sister. So I performed in, you know, Oliver and Peter Pan and The Secret Garden and any show where, you know, there was, well, doing children's theater, you could play all the roles. But when I did community theater, any show that there was like a part for a young boy, you know, I kind of did those. Annie, Get Your Gun, you know, even like some really wonderful shows that I like as an adult now, like Merrily We Roll Along by Stephen Sondheim. And when I did Merrily We Roll Along, I was probably like 12 years old or something, and I was kind of coming into my own and learning about musical theater, and I just fell in love with Stephen Sondheim. Of course, now I'm in love with my wife. But it was kind of eye-opening that musical theater could not only be, kind of creatively fulfilling and moving, but also kind of intellectually stimulating.
So let's do some musical theater music.
That'd be great.
You're the guest. You're my guest. Guest gets to call the shots.
Yeah, I mean, I'd love Stephen Sondheim.
It's going to be a problem.
Why is that?
I'm not a big, you know, I specialize in like the old timey stuff. And
okay.
He's
like
still 80s. Alive.
Yeah.
And, I'm not a big Sondheim guy. I respect him, you know.
Sure.
I'd probably let him be on my show if he asked.
That's so nice.
What's your favorite Sondheim? Maybe I can work with you.
What favorite musical?
Yeah,
probably. Probably my favorite one is a more obscure one, which is called Pacific Overtures, which is, I think I like that one because it ties in all of my interests. It's about like kind of global politics and anthropology and cultural clashes. And it's about the Japanese opening their borders to trade in like the mid 1800s. And so it has all these things. Plus, it has something you really like, which is wordplay. The philosophy behind it was it's going to be written by somebody who is Japanese, who took a few years of English classes. And so it's actually written with, you know, kind of broken English and Japanese kind of cadence or interests or style or themes. And it's so brilliant because it accomplishes that while also being clever in for an English person.
And it's called Pacific Overtures?
Yeah.
I don't know it.
Great.
So next time... my experience with Sondheim, I mean, I I'm very open to seeing it, and you sold me on it.
Sure,
sure. I would pay money, like full ticket price to see it.
Wow.
But my really only experience with Sondheim was I left Into the Woods at intermission. I didn't like it.
Can I confess something? I Into the Woods is my least favorite Sondheim, to the point where almost it's something I don't like.
Well, maybe we can mock it a little bit.
Please, please.
This is my imitation of the whole show of Into the Woods.
The whole show. Yes, that is good. Yeah, that's correct. Yeah.
So maybe if I saw Pacific Overtures first, we would be doing an all Sondheim show. But
you're right.
I saw Into the Woods first, so that's it for Sondheim. Could we do something else?
Yes, yeah, sure. I mean, so I'm just thinking of now people who are dead. I mean, in terms of classical musicals, I mean, I do love, you know, you played Getting to Know You. I love Rodgers and Hammerstein.
I don't know. Whatever.
He's a good friend, so I can call him Hammerstein. Probably my favorite is King and I, probably for the same reasons that Pacific Overture is my favorite, which is that it's about kind of an interesting culture clash. Of course, South Pacific is also about that. But I just like the music more for King and I.
I like King and I, too.
Yes.
It's actually a little bit out of my time period bubble, because I think The King and I was like 1950.
Okay.
And that's when music theater started moving away from jazz. You know, they started separating a bit. The musicals from the 30s and 40s were very jazzy.
Yeah,
and then in the
50s,
you know, I'm not saying they got worse and they were good. They were good in a different way, but they're less jazzy. So, you know, like, and me as like a niche artist, you know, I really like the jazzy musicals best. But King and I like it.
It's right at the edge of your bubble there. Yes, it's there is a song which is March of the Siamese Children, which is the only instrumental song besides the overture in that show. And
are you supposed to say Siamese children? Aren't you supposed to say conjoined children?
I guess. Well, the music was written a long time ago when they didn't kind of account for those kind of politically correct terms. you know, there is so. I became so interested in this particular song, which is instrumental, that I kind of looked up different versions. And there are kind of like jazzy versions of this song. So it's probably not out of your wheelhouse to do a kind of jazzy version of that song.
It's right in my wheelhouse.
Yeah.
This one has great chord changes for jazz. It was originally not jazzy, but it lends itself well to jazzification. Yes.
Why, as an expert in this, why does it... How does it lend itself well? And what wouldn't lend itself well?
That's a good question. And I don't want to get too technical. I guess it's just the type of chord change. Some chord changes are similar to those in jazz, and some are just not.
I see.
And certain harmonies.
Really? So most musical theater does not lend itself?
Well, past 1950s. Mm-hmm. They're less and less, they're less and less like the swing style. So,
interesting.
And so with, you know, Rodgers and Hammerstein, I would say ones that lend itself well to swing, just, I guess the rhythms, the chord changes,
mm-hmm.
they're, you know, I can only think of a couple, March of the Siamese Children,
mm-hmm.
People Will Know We're in Love from,
Oklahoma
Works. Probably others.
It does. Yeah, you're right. I could picture it now, what that would sound like. That's very interesting.
But a lot
That's
of them don't. I think maybe it doesn't have... It just has different harmonies. It doesn't have, I guess, the syncopated rhythms.
You know, Nina Simone does a song from The King and I, Something Wonderful. And it's really good. And it's a totally kind of... unusual take on it. When I first heard it, I didn't really like it because it sounded different than the musical, but it kind of has really grown on me. And is she more jazzy because it's a kind of, I don't know, more free-flowing pace?
Probably, but I haven't seen that. I haven't heard that version. So.
I'll play it for you at some point.
Yeah, we'll do it after, and we'll discuss it off the air, and people will never know what we think.
But I think they might kind of make a good guess.
Yeah, you want to hear me play it?
Please.
All right, let's do it. March of the Siamese Children by Rodgers and Hammerstein, or Steen. And first I'll play it kind of the way it was supposed to go, and then I'll jazz it up a bit.
That was absolutely fantastic.
Thanks, Jesse.
Yes, yes. There is a great Danish version of it, which this reminds me of, by a guy named Jørgen Ingman. And everybody's, you know, favorite Danish jazz Richard Rodgers interpreter.
I can't believe how much you know about this stuff. I am not familiar with that.
But that was absolutely fantastic. What I loved about it so much is that it sounds like it was written for that style.
It really lends itself well. Yeah, The most famous version is English, Kenny Ball, in like the 60s. Mm-hmm. And I think it was like number 4 in the English pop charts.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Is that typical that there would be a jazz recording of a musical?
I don't think so. I think it was kind of the novelty. Although I think Song from the Jungle Book in jazz version. Was
yes, I Want to Be Like You.
Yeah, I think that was a big hit in England too.
Yes, that's right. That's right. That was by Louis Prima.
Maybe.
Yeah. I want to be like you. Yeah.
Yeah. Or was it Prima or a Prima imitator?
I think it was the real thing.
It was Louis Prima.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Well, there are so many imitators these days of that person. So
so I'm here with a Jesse Eisenberg imitator.
yeah, exactly.
No, it's really him. Yeah. And we're getting to know his musical tastes. Mm-hmm. And Jesse, I am happy to hear that you are actually a songwriter as well.
Yeah. I've written songs maybe for... Gosh, I don't know, maybe 16 years. I mean, since I'm 18, I'm just thinking. Once I found a guitar and a piano. And I've been writing songs. Last year I had like a short musical on in Los Angeles for a benefit. And there was the title track was called Four Lesbian Sisters. It was about four sisters who just coincidentally were gay, which I kind of based on a real thing. What a remarkable thing that exists. And that was funny. And then I had a real, you know, full length musical that like 10 years ago I tried to get on, and we did various workshops and readings, and then it kind of just fell apart like many musicals do, like many things do. And then I haven't brought it up since then because I got discouraged. But there is a song that lends itself to your style.
Let's do it. And this is the place to do all your musical things that might not have made it elsewhere.
Perfect.
They will find their home here.
Yes, got it. Yes,
it's like an orphanage for neglected musicals.
We should rename the podcast The Cutting Room Floor. So I think this will be perfect for you. It's totally your style. This song is called (open parentheses) for some reason, close parentheses, sports are important to men. So for some reason, sports are important to men. And the song is about this kind of like jockey firefighter and this sweet 11-year-old boy kind of becoming friends and coming to terms with the fact that for some reason sports are important to men, even though they don't like them. And it has a kind of swingy style to it. I have the sheet music right here, coincidentally.
Let's do it.
So I was thinking maybe you can play it, and well, it is a duet.
For the how about this? I'll play the piano.
Okay.
And you can see, there's a boy part and the grown-up part.
That's right, yeah.
Why don't you do the boy part?
Okay.
And then we'll edit over the grown-up part and you'll do a duet with yourself.
That's
I'll
perfect.
Just stick to piano.
It's the parts I was born for. Perfect.
Perfect. All right. Here it is. Sports Are Important to Men by Jesse Eisenberg. Sort of world premiere? Not really.
Unfortunately, it is the world premiere,
World premiere.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Here it is. From the music, what's the musical? Four Lesbians?
No, that was a different. No, this one is called Me Time. Me Time the Musical.
Me Time the Musical.
Yeah.
Not to be confused with Four Lesbian Sisters.
I don't think it will be confused with that kind of thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Where can you buy a $10 hot dog to watch some grown-ups chase a ball in a pen? I'll never understand, but still it seems clear, for some reason sports are important to men. You know, you're right. How can 15 seconds take a half hour in a time warp that would startle Big Ben? And why do grown men gather round in the shower?
'Cause for some reason sports
are important to men.
An organized excuse to just get hit in the head.
Another way to lose an unnecessary bet. I was jealous of myself when I was at the top.
If the meek are to inherit, then we'll have to bulk up.
'Cause for some reason sports are important to men.
Hey, Frank, what do you call a football player who wants a refund?
I don't know.
A quarterback. What makes civilized men paint their faces
and punch a stranger when they're down at the end?
To watch a bunch of pituitary cases.
For some reason, sports
are important to men.
Hey, Rubesy, what do you call a baby lamb that wants a refund?
I don't know.
Me neither. I was always picked first.
I was always picked last.
But I always thought the picker should kiss my... For some reason, sports are important. Yes, sports are important. To watch 'em, to play 'em, to fry 'em or fillet 'em. For some reason, sports are important to... Men. Not me.
Well, Jesse, that was great. Thank you for for allowing me to play the what I think might be the world premiere of this song.
Yes, it is unfortunately the world premiere of that song.
Unfortunately.
Yes,
fortunately.
Thank you. Well, it's been 12 years. And thank you for your incredible accompaniment. To have an amazing professional virtuoso pianist on a song that doesn't deserve it is my real honor.
My pleasure. And I thought that both the boy voice and the man voice, they really went well together.
Thank you. Those are my ego and my id.
So you are listening to the Carolina Shout podcast. My name's Ethan Uslin, and I am chewing the fat here with Jesse Eisenberg. We'll get to some more music soon. Mm-hmm. But as we've been getting to know each other, mm-hmm. One thing we've discovered is that we're both Jews from New Jersey, which
That's
is
correct. Yeah.
An exciting bond.
Incredibly unusual.
Very few people have those
yeah,
two things
yeah.
in common.
I've only met all of them.
And tonight is a special night for Jews all over the world, not just New Jersey, because
right.
it's Passover.
That's right.
And so the Uslins and the Eisenbergs are going to have the traditional Passover Seder.
Right, finally breaking bread when bread is not legal.
Breaking unleavened bread.
Yeah,
would be.
Which is so easy.
It's got a nice
yeah,
crunch.
Yeah.
For this Seder, I thought I would jazz it up a little bit, and I hope you're going to be okay with that.
Yes. Are you kidding? I'm more than okay with it. I mean, the night is supposed to be different than all other nights,
That's
but
what
of
I'm
course
saying.
It turns into the same thing every, you know, year.
That's right. It's going to be different from all other years.
Yes.
Because I took some popular songs.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, I took the old ragtime song By the Beautiful Sea, and I changed the words to make it about the famous scene that we are celebrating tonight, the scene where the Jews are by the Dead Sea.
Mm-hmm.
They're being chased by the Egyptians.
Right.
And they're thinking, this is it. We're toast. And then Moses...
Well, not toast. That would have also
right.
been...
Right. Yeah. We're matzah.
Yeah.
And then... Moses points the staff at the water.
Mm-hmm.
The Dead Sea parts.
Yeah.
The Jews go through.
Yeah. He was actually just pointing at a boat, but I guess he was so magical at the moment that the sea parted.
Sea parted, and then the Egyptians came through, and it's like the elevator. They pressed a close button,
right.
and it closed right on the Egyptians, and that's yes. why we are still here today.
Yeah. And you know, it's funny, I complained about the long drive from Indiana to here to Charlotte, but you know, I really have to put things in perspective.
Absolutely. That's what this night's all about. So I'm going to play this song
yeah.
with my Passover words by the Beautiful Sea. I call it Part the Sea.
That's great.
And if you're inspired, join in.
You know what? I'm already inspired.
Great. Let's do it. Part the sea, can you part the Red Sea? Certainly, time to flee, so that we can be free. Hear the chariots rolling in, it's too far to swim. Raise your staff and point it at the water. Help us, oh help us, before we're all dead. We can't make a boat out of unleavened bread. You must divide the tide if God is on our side, beside the seaside. Part the sea! Take it, Jesse.
Okay. Pharaoh's near, we are shaking with fear. We sincerely and dearly need a miracle here. Lord our God, can you hear our prayer? We'll be good, we swear. Can you bail us out this one time only?
Help us, oh help us, before we're dead meat.
We promise from now on no pork will we eat.
Moses, divide the tide. If God is on our side, beside the seaside,
part the sea. That was fantastic.
Thanks, Jesse.
That is so funny.
Your passion cries really added a lot. I think it's going to go over well tonight at the Seder.
You know, I've never cried without passion. That was great. So you must have more. That feels like it's part of a set.
I've got one more.
Yes.
And it is a parody of the Tennessee Waltz. And I thought
okay.
Tennessee kind of, I can change it into Ten of Plagues.
Yes, that's great, because of course the Ten Plagues were part of the Passover story. They were the plagues that God rained down upon the Egyptians as punishment for not...
letting the Jews out of slavery.
That's right. That's right. And they were just, I guess, increasingly horrific, or maybe equally horrific?
Well, the 10th plague was killing of the firstborn sons. That was the most horrific.
So let's call it increasingly horrific.
Yeah. The first one was turning the river to blood, which is very horrific. It started out on a 10. Ten out of ten, and then it's like he took it up.
They went from there. Yeah, they said, how could this get any worse? And he goes nine different ways.
Ugh.
Yeah, okay, I got the list right here. I just looked it up. Second were frogs.
I'd rather have that than blood.
Yeah, I would start with the frogs. Then lice, which actually, I've had that plague. So mixture of wild animals or flies. All right. I see it really bad.
After the lice, the flies are no big deal.
Yeah, yeah. You know what? He didn't. Okay, so he probably didn't plan this out. He's probably kind of riffing. But of course, the last one is, horrifying. And he also had darkness for 3 days, which is, they just call that Norway. So these are not that horrible. Anyway, so this is the 10 Plagues Waltz.
Here it is. Have you ever sang country before?
No.
Oh, all right. Well, I think you'll be I think you'll be great.
Yeah, perfect.
Let's do it. Well, here we are at the Uslan family Seder.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome, Jesse.
Thank you.
This is how we do things in North Carolina.
I've heard.
The Ten Plagues Waltz.
Yes. That's the only thing I knew about North Carolina.
We were dancing in the desert to the Ten Plagues Waltz. After Moses, he parted the sea. All the Hebrews fled from Egypt. They were escaping bondage, and at last they were finally free. We remember tonight the Ten Plagues Waltz, when Egypt, she gambled and lost. And the Pharaoh lost his firstborn the night they were playing the beautiful Ten Plagues Waltz.
There was darkness and hail, and bullfrogs a-squirming, and wild beasts and locusts and vermin. And old Moses cracked a smile as he bloodied up the Nile, and we danced to the Ten Plagues Waltz.
Let my people skedaddle, or I'll kill all your cattle, give you boils all teeming with pus.
God was just getting warmed up when the locusts all swarmed up. That's what happens when you mess with us.
Don't mess with us. Wild beasts came to town and ran all around, wreaking havoc among the Gentiles.
Then the angel of death came, and that was the end game. Look out, you firstborn juveniles.
We remember tonight the Ten Plagues Waltz, when Egypt, she gambled and lost. And the Pharaoh lost his firstborn the night they were playing that beautiful Ten Plagues Waltz.
Yeehaw!
That was amazing.
Thanks, Jesse.
Just like the plagues, those songs were of equal level, but in the songs' case, they were great, and in the plagues' case, they were mostly horrible.
Thank you. I've never had my music compared to the plagues before, but I like it.
Yes,
thank you.
It's
very kind of you.
You're welcome. I'm comparing it to the least bad plague. How about that? Just the lice.
Flies.
Yeah, or the flies, which is not even a plague. It's just
life, right?
It's a forest.
Yeah.
So that was wonderful. thank you so much for having me on. I'm thrilled that I could learn about you.
Dizzy, thank you for being on this show. You're doing thanking me. I should thank you.
No, I want to thank you because I think the greatest accomplishment of this show was that you found a new love for Stephen Sondheim and are now, as you just told me off air, are changing your podcast from the Carolina Shout to the Sondheim Shuffle. And I'm going to take full credit for that.
Thank you, Jesse. I think you've changed the podcast in many ways forever. You've changed the way we do things in our house. You rinse the dishes more thoroughly than I do. Kate noticed, and I'm going to have to do the dishes Jesse style.
You're welcome. Yeah. Kate, hit the credits.
You have been listening to the Carolina Shout podcast. I'm Ethan Uslan, your piano player, host, and world's worst biblical scholar. I went back and listened, and I realized I said Dead Sea when I should have said Red Sea. Red Sea, Dead Sea, Hammerstein, Hammerstein. I'm a mess. I'm sorry. Just please cut me some slack. Thanks to Kate Uslan, who is my wife. She's also an audio engineer for this podcast. And if it wasn't for her, I'm pretty sure our house would be infested with flies, lice, and vermin, like my apartment was when we were dating. And of course, I want to give a tremendous thank you to Jesse Eisenberg for being on this podcast. To paraphrase Rodgers and Hammerstein, Jesse, it has been a pleasure getting to know you. And I guess I don't mean that in the biblical sense, but maybe sort of, you know? Jesse, if you had just been a pleasant house guest and left it at that, it would have been enough. But you went way beyond that and agreed to join in on this podcast, and you shared your original song, Sports Are Important to Men, which you sang as two different characters. Then you joined me in singing ridiculous Passover versions of classic old-timey songs, and you certainly made this Carolina Shout podcast episode different than all other Carolina Shout podcast episodes. So thank you, Jesse. We look forward to watching your movies and reading your funny books and articles when you can't make it over here to visit. Happy Passover, happy Easter. Thanks to all you listeners out there, and of course, thanks to God, who we thank tonight for rescuing us from Egypt. God, if you're listening, it would be great if you could leave a rating or review on iTunes. That's totally optional. Just if you want to.